Welcome to the Connected Leaders Academy virtual conference designed to reshape your vision of transformation. As we navigate the evolving business landscape, our speakers will unveil innovative strategies to manage and initiate change. Prepare to adapt, innovate, and lead, ensuring your role as a catalyst in this transformative era.
Absolute banger of a song right there. A pivotal moment in my life was the night that I stood outside my third-story apartment, staring up at my balcony. It was drizzling, just enough to make everything annoyingly unstable. My cat was inside. My keys were also inside. And I had been drinking. Not drunk, blackout drunk, but just enough to dampen judgment. And I remember thinking to myself, I can climb that. No evaluation of risk. No long-term thinking. Just impulse. And that wasn't just about the locked door keeping me from my apartment, or more importantly, my cat. That was how I was living my life. Pure impulse. No thought. Living in a realm of just static reacting. Climbing unstable things, hoping momentum would save me. From the outside, I was functional. But internally, I was just purely surviving. And the truth is, survival mode didn't really start in adulthood. It started much, much earlier. Growing up, home for me was many different things at many different times. My father was a young, ambitious cop, and my mother had just left a loveless marriage to a doctor that produced 7 daughters and a drinking problem. She left that life in Stone Harbor with a renewed sense of excitement and love. She married my father and moved to Wildwood Crest. It's New Jersey, folks. When it was good, man, it was magic. But when it was bad, it was chaos. Drinking, fighting, crying. Feelings weren't talked about in the house. We relied on sarcasm, Irish guilt. Passive aggressiveness was the language of our people. That was the masculinity as I learned it. Don't talk about it. Just outdrink it, outjoke it. But then something unexpected happened. The chaos broke. My parents separated. And instead of collapsing, there was clarity. My mother quit drinking. She joined AA, and she became light. And that's when I first saw what intentional living could really look like. And I didn't realize it at the time, but she was teaching me something that I would flat out ignore for years. Let me tell you a story. I was in 5th grade. And there was 4 of us competing to win a shark watch, which in the 90s at 10 years old was like winning the lottery. I came home absolutely wrecked, teary-eyed, worked up, convinced I had no chance to win this thing. It was probably my first real sweet taste of anxiety. My mother didn't dismiss it. She calmed me down, and she kept repeating, "No matter what happens, I am so proud of you." And then she pointed something out to me. I had walked past our golden retriever, Trooper, who was losing his mind with excitement because I had just come home. And I was so consumed with the possibility of losing that I missed what was already good. She said something to me that I've carried ever since. Don't let something that will have such a small impact on your life impact the amount of joy that you have. Don't let it steal your joy. The watch would be great, sure, but you get to come home to Trooper every day, and that's pretty amazing. It's funny now because that dog drove her crazy. But the lesson stuck. Nothing deserves to steal your light for more than just a few fleeting moments. I ended up winning the watch. I still have it. But what mattered wasn't the prize. It was perspective. And then, well, life tested the hell out of that lesson. In September of 2000, my mother died. And instead of leaning into the light that she modeled, I leaned into survival. I had already started drinking and smoking well before then. But after she died, I accelerated. Moved to Philly for college. And I picked up where her addiction had left off all those years earlier. Which is what unprocessed pain does. It repeats. I was wildly unprepared for adulthood. I drifted, skipped classes, couldn't pay rent. I avoided responsibility at all costs. But here's the subtle danger. Outwardly, I looked fine. But as it turns out, you can only lie about going to class for so long before somebody calls and tells your dad. So I failed out of college. Headed to a small town right outside of Philly. Once again, broke, directionless, I lied my way into a cooking job. From there, I worked my way up to executive chef. Executive chef. Sounds pretty impressive, doesn't it? I could command a room. I was charismatic. I was the life of a party, and then, until I blacked out. But I worked harder than most people. But I wasn't building a future. I was managing anxiety. Being a chef was never really my dream. It was a way to party and mostly pay bills. I even convinced this gorgeous, amazing woman to marry me along the way. And she did. But internally, I was disappearing into this whiskey-laced fog, which is what survival mode does. It lets you look successful while slowly erasing you. And eventually, survival catches up. After my second DUI, I was Ubering a 40-minute commute to work 5 days a week. I'd stay way too late after my shift, drink heavily, then Uber back home. I was literally losing money going to work. My wife was exhausted. I was exhausted. And I just knew, I felt something was coming. Whether it be divorce, jail, hell, even death. I felt like I was on a speeding bullet train. And all I had to do was stand up. But I was so tired of life that that simple task seemed impossible. Then one night, I fell off my deck. Lying there, choking on mud and blood, looking up at the sky, something clicked. I am not unlucky. I am undisciplined. It wasn't shame. Honestly, it was clarity. And clarity is the first step towards intention. There's something dangerous about high-functioning dysfunction. Because when you're completely falling apart, in my case, falling off the deck, people intervene. People show up. But when you're still showing up, still paying bills, still charming rooms, still performing, well, you get praised. And I was getting praised. Hard worker. Life of the party. Fun guy. Which was nice, but what nobody saw, including me, is that I was living in reaction. Impulse. Avoidance, escapism. I use charm as a camouflage. Survival mode doesn't always look tragic. Sometimes it looks, well, successful. If you're in this room building something, whether it be business, influence, impact, and you are not regulating yourself first, well, you're scaling instability. And believe me, that's dangerous. Younger me would not recognize me today. For years, I hid behind a big, bushy, gross beard because I hated my puffy face. It reminded me of everything I had squandered over the years. I just couldn't look at it. Now I have biceps, clear eyes, a mustache of all things. Like, what? But more importantly, I have habits. Gym, writing, mindfulness, presence. Today I am 6 years sober, and I will never whisper that. Sobriety wasn't something I was quitting. You know, it wasn't about quitting something. It was about reclaiming authority. And once I had authority over myself, I could finally build something intentional. Let me slow this down. Because survival mode isn't just drinking. It's not just DUIs. It's not just chaos. Survival mode changes how you think. It shrinks your time horizon. You no longer think in decades. You think in evenings. You stop asking, who am I becoming? And you start asking, how do I feel right now? And if your life is built around how you feel right now, you will sacrifice everything long term. And I see it now in high performers all the time. Not addicts. High achievers. Men and women who have built impressive structures. But internally, they are managing anxiety, not building identity. Let me define something clearly. Achievement does not equal alignment. You can win publicly and still lose privately. You can scale a company and shrink your character. You can command a room and still be, well, running from yourself. And that was me. That's why sobriety alone wasn't enough. Sobriety removed the fog, which was nice, but it didn't automatically create any kind of direction. I had to build that. If I wanted a different future, I had to rebuild myself in layers. And that's when the reconstruction begins. So when I rebuilt my life, I didn't just remove alcohol. I started with three arenas. Because when something collapses, you don't just patch it up. You rebuild the structure. And I started with the most obvious place looking in the mirror. My body, first and foremost. If I couldn't govern my body, I couldn't govern my life. Before sobriety, my body literally dictated everything. Cravings, fatigue, mood, impulse. So I flipped it. Not for aesthetics, although it's kind of nice. For authority. And here's what I learned. Discipline isn't intensity. It's reliability. I didn't need to become impressive. I needed to become predictable to myself. If I said I would wake up early, I did. If I said I wasn't going to have a drink, I didn't. If I said I was going to train, I showed up. Because every time you break your word to yourself, you weaken that internal trust. And every time you keep it, well, you reinforce identity. This applies in the gym, but it also applies in marriage, in leadership. Governance starts with you. Second was my mind. Once my body had structure, my mind had nowhere to hide. And without alcohol muting it all the time, everything was so loud, noisy. So there was a lot of regret, fear, shame, comparison. So I started writing daily. Not content, not for social media, really not for anyone else. Just for clarity. Because if you don't articulate your thoughts, boy howdy, your thoughts will run you. Most people aren't overwhelmed by life. They're overwhelmed by unexamined emotion. When you put language to your thinking, you regain leverage. Clarity is built. And when your thinking becomes structured, your decisions become sharper. Third was my integrity, which was, you know, the hardest layer wasn't sobriety. It was alignment with this. Sobriety removed my mask. Now I had to live without it. There was a night early on when my wife asked me, "Hello, are you here?" Like literally, are you here? Not physically, emotionally. I realized she had been alone in the room for years. Before sobriety, I would have deflected, made a joke, escaped the discomfort. That night, I stayed quiet. Uncomfortable, present. Integrity isn't loud, it's alignment. If what you say, what you believe, and how you behave match, you are powerful. If they don't, well, you are fragmented. And fragmented leaders build fragile systems. Reconstruction wasn't about becoming impressive. It's about becoming integrated. Body, mind, character, aligned. And once alignment is built, everything strengthens downstream. Your business, your relationships, your leadership, your legacy. When people reach out to me now, it's rarely about business tactics. It's more so like I'm successful, but I feel disconnected, burnt out, not interested. I've built something, but I don't really feel that proud of it. I don't know who I am without my performance, my job. And that's survival mode in a fancy suit. What we work on is not adding more achievement. We work on alignment, regulating your nervous system, rebuilding self-trust, creating habits that anchor identity, structuring life so it reflects values, not impulses. Because when identity stabilizes, business sharpens, marriage improves, leadership deepens. Everything flows downstream from self-governance. Let me tell you what I see coming. I see a generation of high-capacity leaders waking up, not louder, calmer, more grounded, more disciplined. I see men who can lift heavy weights and carry heavy conversations. I see women who can lead powerfully without self-abandonment. I see entrepreneurs who don't need alcohol to unwind or chaos to feel alive. I see communities shaped by leaders who have done the inner work. But here's the truth. Dysregulated leaders build fragile systems. Grounded leaders, they build resilient ones. And that's what braving the bright side is about. Not ignoring darkness, but walking through it with steadiness. Let me ask you something again. If someone copied your daily habits exactly, would their life expand or contract? If someone copied your coping mechanisms, would they be more stronger or would they be more dependent? If someone adopted your emotional tone, would their home feel calmer, more tense? This is legacy. Not what people say about you, what they absorb from you. That's why I built something called Braving the Bright Side. Because the lesson my mother taught me at 10, I ignored it for years. I let anxiety steal my light, alcohol drown it, ego yell over it. Now I build spaces where people can reclaim theirs through my podcast, through speaking, through coaching, not to create followers, to create regulated leaders. Where in your life are you still surviving? Your marriage, health, business, emotional regulation? What are you tolerating that you know is beneath you? There's always that part in all of us that looks for that 10-year-old version of ourselves, hoping to find that raw excitement and wonder and drive for life. It's always there, buried underneath the shrapnel in our soul. You just have to clear the shrapnel off to get there. The hunger, the thirst, the drive, it's all right there, along with that smile. My mother told me not to let the small things steal my light. For years, I let big things steal it all the time. Ego, anxiety, alcohol, avoidance. Now I guard my light. Intentional living is constructed. And if you want to change your future, you don't need more height. You need more ownership. So, stand up. Strap on your shark watch. Get off the train. And build what outlives you. Thank you.
Thank you for participating in today's enlightening session as we transition to our next expert. Remember that each strategy and insight is a step toward becoming a transformative leader in your field. Visit ConnectedLeadersAcademy.com to stay engaged and informed. The journey of change is ongoing. Let's move forward together.